Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another splendid episode on the Silsila Journey of a Believer. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you make dua, then include the ummah as well. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, maghfirah and forgiveness to those Muslims that have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. Well, dear viewers and listeners, today we are going to be discussing something that we should all know about. Every Muslim out there should understand it, should know it, and should prepare adequately. Our beautiful planet Earth, which of course, like all of creation, is created by our Creator, our Sustainer, Allahu Azza wa Jal. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed earth at such a position, not too close, not too far from the sun. If it was any closer, we would all be roasted. And if it was any further, then we will be frozen. So the distance between the earth to the sun is approximately 150 million kilometers. Think about that. Allahu Akbar. What about the distance of the sun on the Day of Judgment? On Maidani Hashr, the field of gathering, 1 mile. Above our heads, on planet Earth. I know places like Sufi Nagar, Durban in South Africa, when it's 30 degrees plus, people are perspiring, people are uncomfortable, irritable. Do you remember the dua to read when it's extremely hot? Let's say it together. O Allah Azza wa Jal, it is extremely hot today. Save me from the heat of the hellfire. So rather we engage in dhikrullah and we think about the heat of Jahannam than complaining. But it's going to happen. And that sun is going to be right there above our heads. Here on planet Earth, when it's a blistering hot day, we are going out to look for some shade. The shade of a tree, indoors, we put on the AC, we put on the fan, we cool ourselves down, we hydrate ourselves. But on Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, there's not going to be any shade, but one place, the grand throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the arsh of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and certain privileged, fortunate individuals are going to be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. Will I be there? We should make dua. Dear viewers and listeners, let's make some good intentions. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So make good intentions that, Ya Allah, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learned, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahul Kareem. Let's do ourselves a favor and dedicate some time on a daily basis to recite Kalamullah, the glorious Quran, to recite Salawat, Durud-e Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, make sincere tawbah, repentance every day. Because today could be our very last day. We don't know. Every day, be punctual with the salahs and perform them properly. Fulfill rights of others. Learn and practice the sunnah. Learn a dua or something of deen for the day. Above all, obey Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi wa Sallam. In these things lie great benefit, enormous success and rewards in both the worlds, in the grave as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tubu ila Allah, Astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So which fortunate people are going to be under the shade of the grand Arsh of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? The final Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, on the Day of Judgment, there will be no shade besides that of the Arsh of Allah Almighty. Three people will be in the shade of the Arsh of Allah Almighty. It was then requested, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who will those people be? It was replied, firstly, the one who removed a worry from my ummati. Secondly, the one who revived the sunnah. And thirdly, the person who recited salat durude pak upon me in abundance. Kya baat hai Madine ki? Dear viewers and listeners, tell me, you and I, we can't do any of this. Of course we can. Number one, we should do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should make the intention to act upon these things in order to practice upon the fragrant saying of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you come to know there is a certain brother, a fellow Muslim, whether a family member, a friend that is in difficulty, in some problem, parishani, is stressed out, is worried, and if you have the ability to make that worry disappear, then think, if I do this with the correct intentions, insha'Allahul Kareem, I will get a little place, a little space under the shade of the Arsh of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu on that day when there is no other shade and when the sun is right there 1 mile above the head. And in our own lives, in the lives of our family members, there are many, many sunan that we haven't applied. How about also to act upon this blessed hadith? We create a mindset that let me revive a sunnah. Learn a sunnah with the family and one step at a time, implement, revive it. Take for example, for brothers out there, the Imam Sharif. For sisters out there, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, to dress modestly, to wear the burqa, the hijab, the niqab, using the miswak. So many sunan and adab, Islamic social etiquettes are there. If you want to learn practically, travel with the qafilas of Dawud Islami, attend the weekly sunnah-inspired ijtima of Dawud Islami, watch Madani channel, especially Madani Mudhakara, the Q&A session with His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, read the weekly booklet, read the monthly Faizan-e-Madina magazine, enroll in one of our classes and courses, online, on-site, face-to-face. Allah, at every juncture, you will find something to learn, something positive, something productive to make us proactive. So try to remove a difficulty of a fellow ummati, revive the sunnah and recite Durood Sharif abundantly. The great Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, has stated that commanding goodness and preventing evil is the greatest pillar of Islam due to it being related to every aspect of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all of His prophets, alayhimus salatu wassalam, into this world for this very purpose. Dear viewers and listeners, read over the circumstances, the reality of the Day of Judgment, where there's not going to be any shade but the Arsh of Allah Almighty. Some blessed people will be under that shade. We've covered some of them. These people would have been obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal in the world. And they will also receive the permit, the pass, the entry into Jannah. Many into Jannatul Firdaus. from amongst them. Also those people, men and women, who invited others towards goodness, who forbade evil, they will also be included amongst these fortunate individuals. Have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once sent a wahi, a revelation to the great Prophet Sayyiduna Nabi Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he stated, whoever orders goodness, forbids from evil, and called people towards obeying me, Allah Azza wa Jal, he shall be under the shade, the shadow of my arsh on the day of judgment. How simple it is, yet so difficult. These things are simple. To ordain goodness, to forbid evil, to revive a sunnah, to remove a difficulty from an ummati, to recite salat in abundance. We all can do these things. Who is stopping us? What are the distractions that are there in my life that are diverting my attention from fulfilling my purpose, from performing my salah, from reciting Quran, and from doing these deeds that would include us in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That day, on Qiyamah, when people will perspire according to their sins, more perspiration. Some will be drowning in their own sweat because they would have committed an abundance of sins, like you and me. The amount of sins that we commit, it almost seems like we are addicted to committing sins, and many of us are allergic to performing good deeds. The time to wake up is now. Whilst we still have a chance, whilst we still have ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us enthusiasm. This is missing. We have ability. Enthusiasm, the passion to do good, is missing in many of our lives. So yes, each and every one of us, we have that desire, we have that wish to also be under the shade of the grand throne. But we have to work for it. As you know, Jannah is not cheap. We have to work for it. We have to plant the seeds of good deeds in this world. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. As it is stated, the world is a farm for your hereafter. And scholars, they ask us a question that we must ask ourselves. What seeds am I planting? Good deeds or bad deeds? According to that, that is the harvest I will reap on the day of judgment. Good deeds leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bad deeds to His displeasure. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and out of His mercy, He will admit the person into paradise. If Allah jalla jalaluhu is displeased with us, out of His justice, if He does not grant us forgiveness, then we will be flung into the flames of the fire. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Surah Bani Israel, verse 71, translation from Kanzul Iman, on the day when we shall summon every group along with its leader. Commenting on this verse, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, he has written, we shall summon every group along with its leader means the leader that obeyed and followed in this world. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has said, this refers to the contemporary imam, the leader whose invitation was accepted and acted upon by the people in the world, whether he had invited them towards truth or falsehood. The conclusion is that all people will gather around their respective leaders whose orders they had followed in the world. They will be called with their leader's name. For example, oh, the followers of so and so, whether the person was a president, a prime minister, an imam, a person of authority, that he had subordinates, people under him, that followed him, that obeyed him. Let us start in our homes. Fathers in particular, who is the captain of the ship, who is the leader of the family, who is the shepherd of the flock. All the others are under you. What are you calling them towards? Are we calling them towards goodness, towards salah, to the recitation of Quran, or towards watching movies and dramas, towards listening to music, towards doing immodest and immoral things? Think about it. And if it's negative, start making it positive. The time is now. Once this time is gone, there's no chance. It is over. There's no second chance. There's no coming back to the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So if we are in a position of leadership, we've got a very big role to play, a very big responsibility. A person once came to Sayyidina Hatim Asam rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi and wanted some advice. He rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi said, if you want a friend, the dhikr of Allah is enough. If you want company, companionship, kiraman katibin, the angels that record our deeds, they are enough for you. If you want to learn a lesson, then the world is full of lessons. If you want something to comfort you, the glorious Quran is sufficient. If you want work, worship is sufficient. If you want advice, death is sufficient. Having explained these points, he then said, if you do not like these pieces of advice, then hellfire is enough for you. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. What potent pieces of advice. We should take that advice for ourselves. That, you know, are these things sufficient? If not, then hellfire is a sufficient advice for you and I. Because many will be thrown into the hellfire. Who's going to save us? Many, their graves will be lit on fire. Will that happen to me? Don't look this way and that way. Will it happen to me? How do I know? It's possible. It can happen to us. We want to be under the shade of the divine throne. But how come we are doing all of those things that will prohibit us from going under the shade? Again, no looking left and right. Look here at ourselves. Do I qualify to be under that shade? The fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, the lion of Allah has narrated that the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, there are four types of striving. Four types of striving. Number one, ordering people to do good, preventing them from evils, speaking the truth at the place of patience. And number four, having enmity for transgressors. The one enjoining people to do good strengthens the hands of Muslims. And the one preventing them from evils disgraces the transgressors. Being with the transgressors, even if we are not participating in the transgression, it includes us there also. Like a person who backbites. Why does he continue backbiting? Because he has an audience. He has somebody to listen to him. And so the person who gives an ear to it is included in that backbiting. Because the backbiter is not going to talk to himself. If he does so, people will think he's crazy, will avoid his company. The devil is full of tricks, traps. He's very cunning, very deceitful, very deceptive. He tries every trick in the book to try and ultimately corrupt our iman. Be wary of this. Be careful of this. Because if we say something or do something that could lead towards disbelief, then we are responsible. We will be in regret. Regarding the transgressors, yes, it is allowed to visit a transgressor in order to call the person towards goodness and to make their minds to abandon sins. A pious and righteous person can sit with sinners with the sole aim of making their minds towards goodness, not for forming friendships. It is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, verse 69, and the pious are not accountable for them, meaning those who are misled, but to give them advice so that they may refrain. Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi mentions in the commentary of this verse in Khazainul Irfan that it is understood from this verse that it is allowed to sit with them in order to counsel them, to advise them, and to make the truth manifest. His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, a great saint and scholar of Islam who is followed by tens of millions around the world, has a very lovely book called Call to Righteousness. Obtain it from Maktabatul Madina, the bookshop, the publications department of Dawud Islami, or via dawudislami.net. You can download the free ebook and many others as well. Read it, it will inspire you to commence or to continue the call towards righteousness, to make minds, starting in your home, to forbid evil. But for this, we also need to create an Islamic ethos. Starting in our homes, many of us, we neglect our homes. How do we help others out there when our own family members are far from the deen? Perhaps our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our siblings. Start there. Who else will be fortunate to be included amongst those who will be under the shade of Arshullah, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A blessed hadith mentions the virtues of giving respite to a debtor or forgiving his debt, wiping it out. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, whoever gives respite to a poverty-stricken person or forgives his debt, Allah Almighty will grant him a place in the shade of his arsh. On that day, when there will be no shade besides the shade of the arsh. And another narration states, whoever gives respite to a poverty-stricken person or forgives his debt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a place in the shade of his arsh. If any Muslim is owing you money and it's a genuine case that you know he cannot pay, or he's facing financial distress, then give some respite. If you are in the position to, wipe it out. You see, the human being is such that, you know, if I do this, what is in it for me? What am I getting out? So if you do that, firstly, do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our primary intention from the bottom of the heart. And as a bonus, that individual will be under the shade of the grand arsh. Dear viewers and listeners, on that day when so many people, maybe most people, of course the disbelievers, will be sweating, will be perspiring, drowning in their own perspiration, their own sweat, on floor made of copper, with the sun right above, 1 mile, picture it, envisage it. What's going to be my condition? The first thing I need to really, you know, we have stress, worldly stress over material items, finances, medical, family problems. The real worry we need to have is, will I leave this world with Iman, with my faith, my beliefs intact or not? How often do I worry about that? Do I care about it? I will care about the treasures that I amass, my gold and silver, my diamonds, my businesses, my cash, my vehicles, my home, whatever material, valuable items, I worry about it for its protection. How much more we have to worry for the protection of Iman? For if it is lost, everything is lost. There is no possibility of entry into paradise. Then how will that person even be anywhere close to being under the shade of the arsh? He will be furthest away. The one who died on disbelief. And ulama ikram have said that we have to worry about this. We have to take care of it. We have to be concerned. And we strengthen ourselves by the performance of salah, by the recitation of Quran, by reciting durood, dhikrullah, istighfar, making sincere tawbah, following the sunnah, and obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, out of the medium of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also include us in the shade of His arsh. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern.